It's May 21st, 2011. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 12 of Tech Bacon, the final and last episode of Tech Bacon.
The final episode.
We appreciate all you guys listening all this time. We've had a great time being with you. We only wish we could have done more shows, if only there was more time.
Oh, boy.
So I hope you enjoy this last show. And
this is not our last show. Why are you thinking? Oh, the rapture.
Yes.
The rapture.
Yes.
It didn't happen, Brian.
It's happening today. It's guaranteed.
It was supposed to happen already.
No, it just happens.
It's past.
No, we said what time it happened. It's like, you know, it's not 11:59 p.m. in Hawaii yet. And once that happens, then it will hit. And
that
then
was like nine hours ago.
That was the morning. We still have the rest of the day
It's over. It hasn't happened. We're still here.
Oh.
We're still here.
Interesting.
Yep. We're here. We're alive. Those billboards need to be gone.
I don't like your lack of, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
And there you have it.
I got a lot of stuff to buy back.
You know.
So anyway, welcome to episode 12 of Tech Bacon, everybody.
Welcome.
And just to demonstrate, it hasn't been a crazy big week, but to demonstrate how much we would have been left behind, not Kirk Cameron, but us. The first thing we're going to talk about is a new app, a web app that came out this week for the iPad. It was the iPlayboy application.
The iPlayboy application.
Yeah. Now, there had been...
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, there'd been a Playboy application on the Apple iStore, on the iOS store already, the App Store. But it couldn't have any, you know, adult content because that's against, you know, App Store policy. So what Playboy decided to do is they basically took the entire Playboy back catalog and... and digitized it and put it in as a web app. So you have to subscribe. It costs like $8 a month, and there's like a yearly subscription, you know, for like 60 or something. Yes, I did my research to check this out, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm dedicated to this show.
And did you download it?
Well, you don't download it. It's all streaming. It's all as a web app.
So there's not even anything.
Yeah. I mean, okay, you can do screen captures if you like really are need that in your life. Right. But it was cool. What's interesting about it is that it's not just the pictures or just the articles. It's actually the exact scans of every single page of every single issue in their entire history.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're like, oh man, remember that Stephanie Seymour, you know, issue when I was in high school that like, you know, I bought with my friend Josh and we looked at it, you go, well, that you get to have that entire exact experience back.
That's actually pretty fascinating.
It's pretty cool. Just from a cultural perspective, seeing the ads is really fascinating.
Can you pull it up? Have you tried pulling it up just on the computer?
I have not tried.
I mean, I would assume it works, right?
I don't know. I would think so. There's no reason it couldn't technically.
Right.
You know, but they could have a browser, you know, they could, you know, make it not able to get them the browser. Because I'm sure the regular Playboy version, I'm sure that's content's available online on their website.
Right. You know, I wonder.
I did not check that out.
I wonder if it would be allowed, you know, what are those? There's a couple of just like magazine reader apps on iOS and on Android and
like
stuff.
Like Zinio and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, like Zinio. I wonder if it was available through one of those.
It was not.
There would
actually
be an issue. No, I mean, I know it's not.
There is. Like if you go to the – and once again, I don't do this all the time. This was all research, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to Zinio –
Brian was getting ready for the rapture.
You know, I really wanted to stay. If you go to Zinio and try to go buy any of their adult magazines, they will not display on an iOS device, an iPad or an iPhone.
Oh.
Yeah, it basically says like – if you buy the subscription, you know, you won't get it on those devices. It'll be computer only.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, you know, the scanning wasn't the best. Like, if you try to go and, like –
did it actually look like scanned paper?
It looked like literally they opened up, like, the back room with all the issues and they just, like, scanned it. And kind of shoddily. You know, like, you can't really read the articles because it kind of has, like, JPEG artifacting and it kind of looks like a mess.
I'm surprised they didn't have, like, the negatives of all – I'm surprised they didn't save that stuff that – I would feel a back catalog of a magazine would have the negatives of these, you know, prints and stuff.
One would think, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe Playboy's just not the tightest run ship. I mean, going back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years.
Yeah, 50. I mean,
you know,
60 years, really.
You know, I'm sure like all that stuff now, it's, you know, since it's all put to press, you know, it's a digital workflow.
Now it's
that's
digital,
easy.
Yeah,
but back then, it's like, I'm sure they're actually shooting elements and that kind of stuff.
That's true.
You know,
that's, I mean, good for them. Great for them for jumping on board.
Yeah. And in 1984, December, Karen Velez was once married to Lee Majors. I had this stuck in my head from when I was a kid.
Wow.
It's you know, just a callback, throwback. It's like reliving your youth again.
I kind of feel bad for kids now, you know, because that it's so accessible to just get that, you know.
There's no mystery to it.
Right. Like before.
Absolutely.
Like if you were a young man, back in the in the 80s.
A strapping young lad of 12.
And you wanted to, you know, be devious and see a Playboy magazine. You know, it was not easy to get a hold of. You would have to, like, try and sneak it from the store or steal it or...
Yeah. Or if there was, like,
an older brother from a friend or...
Or, like, a family member had a stash and you had to go and, like, secretly, you know, pilfer them from that. Yeah.
Exactly.
There was... It's kind of like Christmas, you know?
A little bit.
It's like there's the part of, like, not knowing and, like, the chase is a big part of the fun and, you know, it makes the payoff that much better. When you're 12 and you can go on to YouPorn, it's kind of, like, not that... Yeah. You're like, okay, that's great.
And also, it's hard for a parent now. I mean, you got to block that stuff. I mean, you cannot.
I can't. Honestly, you know, we both have, you know, I don't have kids. You don't have kids. No, we have friends that do.
And
so hard. Like, I don't know how you'd even approach that.
I mean, you really have to. I mean, I have a lot of clients that ask me about this, actually.
Sure.
It's, you know, and there are some programs that can block certain sites and things like that. But at the end of the day, unless your only computer is the family computer sitting in the middle of the living room, it's so hard to monitor that. It's really difficult.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I see, you know, I see clients that give their 10-year-old kid their own laptop. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, the thing is, too, you don't want to be. I mean, this is going really, really off topic, but you don't want to be as technology has become more evolved. You know, it's allowed access to everything. I mean, you don't want to be a draconian parent. You know what I mean? You want to go and be able to trust your kid and build that rapport, where they'll, you know, they're not going to respect you. If you're basically saying, no, don't do this, they're just going to want to explore it even more. So you want to be able to trust them. But how do you have an open, honest conversation when the kid is 8 about not going and checking out Jenna Jameson's body of work? Or, I mean, I don't want to start listing off names and sound like a pervert, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It'd be nice. I would like to see, you know, it'd be interesting for some sort of like iOS app to be some sort of child. And I'm talking younger, you know, I'm talking like 10 and younger children. Some sort of app that locks out except, you know, a certain number of programs. So it's basically a child lock.
They already have that.
But the kid can use it.
That's already in there. Oh, yeah. They have parental controls built into iOS.
No, but I'm talking like a third-party app that's even more strict. Even more strict. That's stricter. You know what I mean? Like something that where you can say, okay, when I lock it, it only has access to these 4 apps.
Oh, so basically it's kind
not
of like
content, a but not, you know, you're not, so you can really customize it and say, okay, I can give my iPad to my kid, but I know he can only get into these 4 things.
Right. And I don't know if you can go, and I'm just looking it up right here on my iPad. I don't know if you can go and do app specific restrictions. I know it's, you can turn off Safari, you can turn off YouTube, you can turn off all the stores and that kind of stuff. You can turn off location, mail, that kind of thing. I don't know that you can go and turn off. Oh, no, you can. You know what you can do? It. You can trigger it based on how the apps are rated because the app store rates all the apps like, you know, good for 4+, 9+, 12+, 17 and up, that kind of thing. And you can trigger it like that. So there is some sort of functionality like that. It's not granular. It's actually saying like, you know, you can look at, you know, you can't look at Safari, but you can look at iPlayboy web app. It's not that specific, but
sure. I mean, I think we might see, you know, a kind of level of app be –
I don't think we will on the iOS side. On the Android side, we probably could.
I mean, you see – I mean, I see it's on – they have – for the Macs, there's stuff like that too.
But I'm saying like the way it's like structured there, I don't think they'll ever go and let, you know, any other application have system-wide control because it got – you know,
it wouldn't – I don't think it would be system-wide control. I think it would be like a some sort of lock. Well, I guess that would be system control, I guess. I guess the only – because you can't not – you can't restrict the iPad from going out of the app.
Correct.
So that would be that would be something.
You mean like a fake launch that other stuff could like run a thing kind of deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that for kids. Because it would be nice if it, you know, if it's like
you
all
know,
of a sudden it's
for
just,
kids. You
know, if it was just like books, you know, and that children's books and that's all the kid. You hand it over and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. But here's the other thing too. If I, when I'm a parent and I give my kid my device, I'm just not going to put porn on it. I'm just not going to put, you know, if I'm actually going to give this stuff here, play with this, Johnny, I'm just not going to have my sensitive stuff on there, whether it's like, you know, business stuff or it's, you know, personal stuff. It's just not worth it.
I agree.
You know,
no, that totally makes sense.
And especially when I have kids in 2025, You know, I'll be able to go and get an iPad for like $14. And they'll be like, oh, here, take one.
Freaking, I don't care. It's going to be free.
Yeah,
it's
gonna
be free. Go ahead.
Back in the
Actually, you know what? I'm going to get my kid the Amazon tablet because that probably will be ad subsidized and free. And I'll be like, oh,
that's
it,
true.
It's kind of sucky. You won't like it. That's,
you know,
maybe it'll be great. Like, I don't know.
I got my new phone book today, just dropped off at the doorstep, which I have.
Like a physical phone book?
Yeah.
You still get them?
No, I don't know why. I don't have a phone line.
That's amazing.
And it's just going to be, they're just going to drop off, you know, Amazon Kindle tablets.
That's insane. Why? Why?
I mean,
is
what a
any
waste
company
of
killing trees and dropping that stuff off?
I think they literally just drop it off anywhere there's a phone jack, even if it's on an active line.
I mean, I have a stepladder, so I really don't need one.
What?
Joke grenade.
Boom. And it was a very delayed get for me.
The best is the look on Scott's face. He's like, what? And it was as he was reaching for coffee, which kind of brings the whole thing around.
Well, speaking of Amazon,
yes,
we brought that up. We should talk about this.
Yeah, and this was really, really cool piece of news. I mean, and I think everybody knew this was coming. We posted it up on the Facebook page, but everybody knew it was coming eventually. I'm surprised it happened this quickly.
Me too.
But
why don't you tell what it
is? Yeah, basically they announced that Amazon is now selling more Kindle ebooks than they are hardcover and paperback physical books combined. So in terms of like the market shifting, we all knew it was going that way, but that is a huge momentum shift.
I mean, let's think about it. When did the Kindle come out? 2 years ago?
It was more than that. It was like three, wasn't it? So this is the Kindle 3 or 4.
Yeah, but it's been maybe 2.5 years. We're in a very short amount of time. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And plus, I mean, it's even worse when you think about it because you have physical bookstores closing. Most people – I can't remember the last time I bought a book other than Costco – I don't remember the last time I bought a book at a store that was not Amazon.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you figure like most people are buying books from Amazon already. And now they've, you know, some for that. So it's not like Amazon was like, you know, a niche player. They are the player in terms of book sales.
Oh, yeah. They're the first one came out in November 2007.
Okay. So about three and a half years.
Yeah. Still.
It's insane.
Still, that's crazy. And you mean, look at it like a place like Borders has filed for bankruptcy, which is interesting.
Barnes & Noble is about to get bought.
I just read something that they may be getting bought by Liberty Media or some huge.
Yeah.
Was that who? I think that's who it was, which is cool. And their Nook is actually doing very well. That Nook device.
The Color Nook?
Yeah, the Color Nook is doing really well. And I think most of the people buying it are buying it for books.
Oh yeah, I think all those devices they're succeeding because they are, you know, good e-readers.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I think that's where that smaller form factor really, really shines too.
Yeah, totally. And I was surprised though that Color Nook took off like it did.
Have there been numbers released? Because like, I know Amazon won't release Kindle numbers.
There weren't numbers on how many devices, but there were numbers on how many books have been sold through it.
Through the Nook or through the Kindle?
Through both. Okay. I can't remember what the exact numbers were. But where it was something like, you know, 40% was the Kindle, it was still 25-30% was the Nook.
Oh, wow.
It was high. It was higher than I expected. And I was very impressed with that. I mean, and Barnes & Noble has been doing a very good job.
They're a tremendous brand, too, in terms of, you know, in terms of that specific market.
And like setting up the little store. You know, remember you, we went to the Barnes & Noble
and they have it set up and the guy's demoing it and
yeah, very smart.
Yeah. Oh,
very
absolutely.
Smart. You know,
and that's the thing. That's the advantage that, you know, Amazon does not have some place where you can go where people are actively demonstrating Kindles. They're out at Best Buy. They're out at like, you know, various, you know, market, you know, brick and mortar stores where there's no Amazon dude like, you know, pitching you the Kindle anyplace.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But here's another thing that's really interesting. The Kindle store, of all the books in the world, they only have 950,000 books. Now, that is a ton of books.
But of all the books in the world, that's not that much.
Right. So, that tells me a couple things. Number one, most people are buying pop culture books, which is, I guess, a little depressing, but whatever.
But not unusual in general, anyway. They're just, I mean, that's the biggest market that this is replacing.
Sure.
Let's put it that way.
Because it's going to be the broad consumer path. If you want like random books, you're still going to go to like the niche bookstore. And like, and I got to be honest, as much as I love the Kindle, like I got a Kindle, I kind of poo-pooed it for a while. And now I have an iPad and a Kindle and I use them for completely different purposes.
Uses, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice if I need to go, I'll buy stuff on the Kindle, I'll read books. So if I want to go and like have like a cookbook or something, I'll get it on both. And I'll, you know, the iPad's much better for doing
Absolutely.
Stuff in the kitchen.
I mean, for the color photos and some of them have video in them now.
Yeah. So it's like, cool. It's a great, they both have slightly different uses.
Right.
For books I really, really love, you know, books I want to go and like keep for a long time. And like, I love the author. I want to have
like
a long-standing.
Books that you reread?
Yeah, or just someone's like going to have like a real kind of like relationship with, because a physical book you do have a relationship with. No, you know,
it's very different.
Yeah,
very different.
And like those kinds, I stopped buying paperbacks a long time ago, and those ones I only buy hardbounds. But all the paperback stuff I always buy in the Kindle now.
Yeah,
you know,
did the Kindle? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Did they implement that sharing feature?
I think there's a lending feature. It's like a 14-day window.
I think you can
lend something for 14 days. Yeah,
that's such a cool feature.
Yeah,
smart. Yeah. So smart.
Well, there's a couple third-party companies that have been doing that, and then like they kind of got knocked down for it, and then the official one came out. But,
right.
but that's what I mean. That just talks about the need of that, you know, because like you need to replace the entire experience of books.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a smart, you know, move to actually do that.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't like, and we talked about the library thing on the show, I believe. I don't like that, because that to me seems like the library should be the holy place where you can see the, you know what I mean? Like that's where you go and you see the real artifact.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does say a lot about where we're going.
I think you're going to see libraries turning more into maybe they're just going to start disappearing, which is kind of sad.
I mean, I think they can – I mean, use the buzzword, but libraries can just be in the cloud.
Well, I mean, you have like – they used to have all these microfiche databases and stuff, but that stuff, it can be all scanned in now.
Yeah,
and honestly, accessible through the computer.
And it's a lot cheaper than having to go and keep a real place open. I mean, it's – I don't know. That's like the downside. There's, you know, it's cheaper. It's digital is definitely cheaper in a lot of ways.
Yeah, true.
But it's there's romanticism that's not there.
Yeah.
That's that where I feel like we're losing it. And it's hard.
Well, and also, I mean, there's still something to be said for a person, such mm-hmm. as a librarian, to guide you in the right direction when you're looking for something. It's hard to get lost in – I mean, it's easy to get lost in the digital world when you're searching through Google or whatever interface, you know. Somebody's knowledge is still worth something in that physical
and plus person. How do you do a modern production of The Music Man if there's no libraries?
I mean, come
is Marion
on.
Like an IT professional? Like, what do you do?
No, she's an AI computer.
He can't. That's weird. He cannot have. We cannot have a. We cannot have it Hal singing songs.
It actually turned into a sci-fi horror movie.
That's totally awful. Why'd you do that,
Marion?
Marion,
librarian.
Oh man, this show is off the rails already. We're like. We're like 20 minutes in and it's ruined.
Oh my, oh my. While we're quickly talking about e-books, I read about this new technology that Qualcomm was coming out with about a light for the e-ink displays.
All right, and just in backstory, e-ink is a display that the Kindle uses, basically where it's, you know, it's not backlit. It's only good if you have like a front light source on
it. So like if you're outside.
So it's easier on your eyes versus like a iPad screen.
Right, and if you're sitting in your bed at night and the lights are off, you can't read the Kindle. You can't see anything.
Right, which is why those cases have those little bendy lights.
Right, they have little bendy lights. So they came out with an idea, which is very smart. Instead of a backlight, they actually have a small side like LED light that shines light on top of the e-ink.
So it's basically like mounted right on top, but right exactly at the edges?
I think it's right in the edges. Okay. So it's not coming from behind. It's just like having one of those lights, you know, the external lights shining on top of it.
Right.
Very smart. You know, it changes that whole thing.
Sorry, just looking at the chat room. Chat room makes me laugh.
Always.
Marion, the computarian.
Wow. Wow. I think, you know what? The Tech Bacon, our first musical, has just been born.
Okay, we need to, once again, this is another billion-dollar idea that we need to stop talking about right now. You know, it's going to be part of Tech Bacon Industries, LLC, but we cannot talk about it anymore here.
Over.
Yeah.
But you will be able to download the musical
we're not putting this episode up. This is top secret episode. Done.
Forget it. Never mind. Yeah. I didn't say anything. You didn't hear me.
Ixnay on the Amputarian K.
Ixingnay. Ing. I'm not going to pick that. Ankthe. All right. What else has been going on? What else we got to talk about?
You want to talk about that Yahoo video?
Oh yeah, just quickly. Yahoo Messenger has had video chat built in, like iChat and AIM chat and Skype and all that stuff. And it's not the best of all the options out there, but it's pretty nice. Recently, they launched an Android app of this. This was a few months back,
mm-hmm.
and the nice thing about it is that you could use your computer and chat with the person, video chat with them on their phone, which was really nice.
Cool.
So now they also launched that for iOS devices.
And it's over 3G too, correct?
And it's over 3G
too. That's cool.
So now you have from computer to iPhone to Android, complete cross-platform video chat through Yahoo Chat. It's pretty neat.
How does it compare to Skype and
quality-wise?
Or Quick is quick as Brooken has his own app. Well, Skype owns it.
Skype bought Quick recently. So quality wise, not as good. Mm-hmm. Not even close, to be honest with you. But it works,
right.
And it's fine, but it's not – you don't get the quality you get with Skype.
Right.
You know, like Skype video quality and audio quality, obviously Skype is perfect. It's nailed that. And video is really good. The Yahoo, it's a little grainy. It's a little – looks a little blown up, but it totally works. I mean, I had – when they launched it for Android, my brother was at a restaurant with my family, mm-hmm. and he loaded it up on his Android device, and I pulled it up on my computer, and I, you know, they're in Chicago, and we're doing a little video chat with everybody at brunch and me at home. It was fun.
How cool is all this going to be? I feel like I do the FaceTime stuff with my folks all the time, you know, and they either through their phone or through a computer back and forth. Hey, Mark, what's going on in the chat room? But what I really – it's one of those things where it's a great technology and it's almost here. But even like things that have it via 3G, we're not ready for it yet because we don't have the 4G connections
close, though.
Yet.
It's close.
But like in the next 2 years, it's going to be – I'm not going to be doing video calls all the time. In fact, I'm probably going to be doing
– but you do it for certain things.
Yeah. And for those things, when you have a truly mobile 4G, so the quality will be there, it's going to be so good.
Yeah. It's really going to – I think especially when you have friends and family
– yes.
Not in the same city as you or across the country or even across around the world.
Yeah.
It's just really – you know, it's a nice form of communication, makes it more personal. It's one of those technologies that actually enhances the personal.
Yeah.
And you don't see that all the time. And I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice because, you know, obviously lots of people do it on their computers already. But like when you actually have a chance to share a moment, that's I think when it's really going to shine. And then you really need that quality connection to kind of do that. I was in Park City, Utah for a wedding. This was like last year after I got my iPhone 4.
Yeah.
And the hotel Wi-Fi could extend down to Main Street in Park City. So I basically FaceTimed my folks and I was like, hey, check this out. Here's where I am. And I could show them. I wanted to go and like walk all around and show them. You know what I mean? And obviously FaceTime was Wi-Fi only. So that's kind of a drag.
I mean, I remember doing that with my laptop a couple of years ago.
Right,
when
totally.
I got my new car, I pulled my parents up on Skype.
Right.
And I like walked outside on the Wi-Fi. I'm like, here's the new car. And I'm showing them the car. But I'm holding my whole laptop, you know, up. And, like,
and your laptop is actually bigger than your car.
Right.
It is. Yeah. Scott has a smart car.
I do.
It is very tiny. But the good news is we can always reenact Mentos commercials.
This is true.
With your car.
I think you and I, just me and you.
I think you could do it by yourself.
I think probably lift the car up by myself. Yeah. Just, you know, boom. So should we – I think we should do a little what I had going on –
Let's I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that virus thing first, and then do it.
Okay.
Next. Yeah.
We're gonna tease this for a second. We're gonna talk about something else first. But I was one of the first people to ride the new Star Tours attraction at Disneyland. I won a contest.
Yeah, as talked about last week. So
we're gonna talk about that in a minute. So hang tight if you're you know interested in that.
Definitely. Basically, last week and the last few weeks, we've actually talked about, you know, the Mac malware thing that was, you know, Mac Defender that had been breaking out.
And we talked about what it was. We put little information on our site on how to spot
to go
it
and how to kind of, you know, prevent that from happening to you. And it also – but like there's been further discussion about this and what Apple's going to do in response. And basically, one thing that came out is like their support teams – I mean allegedly, supposedly, but like there's some documents that leaked that look legitimate. It said they were telling support staff to basically kind of like not offer a solution yet, kind of, you know, neither confirm nor deny it was going on really.
Right. Which is not unusual for vendors to do sometimes. It's not just an Apple thing. It's happened in the past with other support services.
Sure. And I think Apple's actually in a really interesting position here because they've always been known as a, you know, platform, at least in the OS X era, as a platform that does not get viruses. So, and this whole thing is working because, you know, a malicious website is basically saying, oh no, your computer's been infected with a website window that looks kind of like, you know, your desktop.
Those tricksters.
And so people go like, oh, no, I have viruses. So it's
–
if Apple kind of releases a formal tool and says, here's the official Apple tool, that will just make that kind of attack all the more, you know, you know, make it work even better because people will be like, oh, there's a real thing. They must do it. But it ties into a different conversation you and I are having a couple weeks ago about the Mac App Store and locking things down and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because iOS is a much, much, you know, bigger, more widely adopted, more profitable platform than the Mac has ever been.
Sure.
But there's been no, you know, there's been no kind of, you know, malware or virus stuff at all associated with it because it's, you know, locked down, because everything's sandboxed, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't install malware on your iOS device because you can only get it from, you know, the App Store.
Well, yes, correct.
You know,
that is
so like
true.
There's actually no way to go and do it. So it's interesting. And in terms of I don't think we've had discussions about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think there's pluses and minuses and blah, blah, blah. But in terms of like the Macintosh, we'd always kind of assumed that it would never go. They'd never lock that down. They're introducing the Mac App Store, but I've always thought they would never, they would always let it keep it open. But you see something like this and you kind of go, what's the best way that they can go and prevent that from happening for all Mac users? You know, even if you basically go and give them, you know, if there's a way for them on the system level to go and prevent, even if you go and give them your password, nothing bad can get on the machine. How can they do that? And the only other way to do it would be to lock down all application installs through the Mac App Store.
Sure.
Which, like I said, I never thought they'd do it because that's just not the way the computers have been running. But in light of this stuff, it's interesting.
Right. I don't – I mean I can see – I can – judging by what, they, what they've been doing with iOS stuff, I can see them doing that.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised. What I would like – what I would not like to see them do is have – I mean I think it's okay to approve the apps based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like to approve apps based on maliciousness, but I hope that they don't start approving apps for the computer based on content.
That I agree with 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because if they do have an app store, if they do say
like having that one
Mac
filter
only,
like yeah. to filter out that and say so you can only install from the Mac App Store, fine.
Right.
But anybody can put their stuff in there, but it will go through a review process to make sure it's not malicious.
Right.
Fantastic. I think that's fine.
Because being a computer and not like, excuse me, and not being an iOS device, there is a different expectation.
Right.
You know? But like, I've started to think, okay, they have Launchpad in line. They have all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, if they wanted to, it's just one iOS – I mean, excuse me, one Mac OS iteration away from saying that's the only way you can install your stuff. Everybody has to come on board. I don't like them doing that because I don't like the developers. I don't like basically taking away a business model from developers that's existed for 20, 25 years.
Well, I mean, that, I mean, if
iOS
they did something
different
like
for
that,
me because it's always been that way.
And I get that. And if they did something like that, you could literally have people out of business.
I don't know if it's that dramatic, but it would impact people's businesses.
I mean, it could. It could. If they had built a whole business and this is their livelihood and then they have to go through this review process for the computer and they get denied –
Oh, in that case, yeah. I thought you meant because of the 30%.
Oh, no. I'm saying that if
then they have no way of selling their wares. Yeah,
that's what I'm
absolutely.
Saying. And like you said, it's been something that's been around for that long, more than 20 years now. It's been
77.
I mean,
was it
in the late 70s? I mean,
yeah.
So I mean, we're in 20.
Well, they just had the 30th. I think they just had the 25th or the 30th.
30th.
Was it 30th?
30th.
It's interesting from an end user perspective. Because I was trying to go and game plan this all in my head. Like, what would it be like for users? It seems like I would be fine with it. Not in terms of like, you know, if that was the only way I could install stuff, but in terms
right.
of like everything's safe and I don't have to worry about those kind of problems. That seems like that would be okay to me.
Right.
You know, that wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't be something I'd worry about.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't buy computers to go and make to take moral stances. I buy computers and software to get work done. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
And if I knew everything could be that much safer, and because that would be a way to go and not just make it, you know, the computers are safe because there's not that many of them. It'd be safe because like it's locked down.
Now let
down.
Me ask you a question. Do you think though, even if it was locked down, don't you think that that would become a major challenge for these guys that do this, these horrible people?
I think it would become a challenge, but.
Because if you think about it, I mean, I guess we're not seeing it on the iPhones yet, but I feel people who write viruses and malware and stuff like that, half the reason they do it is for money.
Right.
The other half is to show that they can. And these guys are smarter than the guys writing the software. At the end of the day, these guys are smarter.
Well, you know,
and they've always proven to be.
It's interesting that...
Are people having issues hearing us in the Ustream?
I think they are. We're going to stop the broadcast and restart. There's been a technical difficulty bonanza today.
We're just going to – it's the rapture.
You know what? We're going to jump a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Long time ago as in yesterday in a galaxy far, far away
as in Anaheim.
Anaheim, California. So let me play out exactly what happened here. On Facebook, I followed Disney Parks or like Disney Parks, and they show new information about the parks that's coming up and things like that. So they had a contest. I don't know. Maybe it was a month ago. Click like this if you want to be one of the first people to try out the new Star Tours at the Disneyland Park. So I entered it. I totally forgot about it. And I don't know. It was last week. It must have been or a week and a half ago. I was looking through my spam filter and there was an email from Disney Park saying, you may have won this contest. Please reply. And I read it like four or five times because I thought, oh, you know, this may be a spam, but turned out to be legit. I replied, got the thing. You've been, you know, you've been one of the first people that gets to experience the new Star Tours attraction at Disneyland.
Right.
It was awesome. I got to bring one guest.
When we talked about this last week and I gave you, you know, crap for not inviting me, and I got to give props to Scott because I got a text on Thursday basically saying, hey, would you like to go to see Star Tours with me tomorrow? So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
The irony was I couldn't go, which
but
of
I did
course,
invite you.
But you did invite me, and that was a special moment. And I can't help but feel that me calling you out on the carpet the last 7 weeks about stuff wasn't part of why that happened. It made me happy. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
You see what I did there?
I did. So I got to bring one guest who was not Brian. I ended up bringing my friend Mark. And we had to show up. The check-in for this thing was between 4:30 in the morning and 7:30 in the
morning. Wait, what?
Yeah. The check-in was between started at 4:30.
I would have gone if I'd known that already.
No, well, here's the thing. You had to check in between those hours. I guess if you wanted to be first in line to actually be the first person to ride, you would get there at 4:30 in the morning. We got there at 7:00. Which was fine. By the time we got there, the line was pretty long.
But what time did you have to leave your house to get to Anaheim at 7?
Funny enough, only took 35 minutes.
Oh, because before rush hour.
No traffic. It was great. It was great.
But still.
It was early. Oh. It was early. But we showed up, checked in. No, you know, no problem. They had shuttles going from one of the parking lots. They had free coffee and hot chocolate with special designed Star Tour sign that said coffee and hot chocolate.
That's cool.
Kind of cool. They did it up. It's Disney. Yeah. They do it up for everything, you know. So they put everything all over there. So then we got in line. Then they let us into the park an hour before the park opened.
Now, could you ride? Were all the rides open?
No, nothing was open. There was just a line in the park for us to go on to Star Tours.
Which, and I saw pictures. Was it going down to Main Street?
Oh, yeah. It went from Tomorrowland all the way down Main Street, all the way out. But it was a single file line. So it was deceptively long.
Right.
You know what I mean? But so we got in there and we're waiting in line at 8:00. Being in the park at 8:00 before it's open was pretty cool. It was something that I haven't experienced before.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody there. You see Main Street completely empty. It was very peaceful and cool. And
was it cool or was it creepy?
Because no, it was cool.
I feel like they could go either way. You know?
Yeah, no, it was. I think maybe if it was at night, it would be really creepy. But it was in the morning, and they were just kind of, there were people sweeping the street and kind of getting everything going. It was nice, and then. Before I even talk about Star Tours, a crazy thing that happened. I've never been at the park right at opening,
mm-hmm.
and especially not in the park when it opened, obviously. So at 9 a.m., they open the gates, they blast Zippity Doodah on the loudspeakers, and people, hundreds of people, run in the park. And we got to see it coming towards us. And there are people skipping and kids and laughing. It was so surreal. I felt like I was in a movie.
That sounds kind of disturbing. I got to be honest. I mean, cool, but
crazy. I can't believe that happened. I was like, really happened? It looked like a commercial. It looked like a commercial for Disney.
But even Zippity Doodah's like, I like the song and all, but simmer down.
And they do this every day. Every day, as my friend, our friend Jared's telling me, they do it every day. It's amazing. And it was just neat to be on. To be watching come at you, because I'm like, what's happening? What is going on? What's going on? I don't understand. And there's like grown
humanity.
Men. There's grown men skipping, you know.
Well, what's wrong with skipping, Scott?
Nothing.
Okay.
I think we should all skip all the time.
Well, that's a little extreme, but
I mean, come on, Brian.
I mean, show some restraint, Scott.
Sorry. So on to
skipping for special occasions.
On to Star Tours.
Yes. Did you skip to Star Tours?
I did not.
Why not?
Because other people were skipping for me.
One cannot skip for another. One must skip on their own. Skipping is one man's personal journey.
So we're in line for disregarding completely. We're in line for Star Tours. And the outside is not crazy different. They cleaned up the sign. They made it. It's like a nice polished silver Star Tours in the Star Wars graphic. So they actually changed it from what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in the queue, it's built pretty much the same, but they updated everything. So there's a brand new like HD screen that shows all the departures and everything.
Is it still like that X-Wing being worked on with 3PO and
No, it's actually it's this speeder that you go in, that you're going to be going in.
It used to be an X-Wing, or was it always the speeder?
I think it was always a speeder, but it's a newer speeder, and it's got this new little device on it, and R2's there, and C-3PO's there with a brand new display, like this high-tech display on there, and there's new audio and all this stuff, and they're talking to each other. It's
isn't it strange how in the Star Wars world, they all had like these CRT-looking, you know, vector graphic displays, and then somehow now they all have HD displays.
I know.
Wasn't it? Isn't it the same time frame?
No, it's supposed to be earlier.
Oh, of course, because that makes sense.
Earlier,
right? Because everything got broken down after the Empire took over, and Naboo,
and they had
something
to rebuild. Yeah,
yeah.
But as you walk in, then they have this robot that is scanning bags. So it's like this physical bag comes through a scanner, and then you see this laser go on it, and then it becomes see through. It's a really cool effect.
Do you go through it? Is it like the TSA scanner?
No, you don't go through it, but the bags go through it, the fake bags.
You got to be careful, man. That stuff gives you cancer. I read an article.
Crazy, right?
You got to be careful.
Very careful.
That's really irresponsible with Star Tours.
I know. Come on, George.
Lewis doesn't care.
So you're walking in and you go through, and then there's like this robot that's doing like a comedy routine as he's talking, as you're going through, and it actually does – You go through a fake infrared scanner, so you see yourself on a screen through infrared.
So you do go through the scanner.
You're not going through a scanner. You're just walking through, and they hit you with a camera.
You know, I don't like the implications of why they're promoting that. There's a whole. Oh, I don't like that.
Star Wars fake, not real Disneyland, Brian.
But they're promoting, man. I don't like it.
It was neat. It was cool. And so then you get in the ride. The ride itself, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's the same physical contraption, it looks like.
Right. Now, tell me, like, is the story the same? Because the old one used to go in.
There's not anything the same about the story at all. Completely different.
So what's the story of the new one? You get in the
ride, and there's that crazy little Pee Wee Herman robot that we talked about last week. Not there anymore.
Okay.
It's C-3PO now. It's an animatronic C-3PO that's guiding you. Yeah. It's Anthony Daniels. And then R2-D2. So it's C-3PO on one side, R2-D2 on the other. And you start off on the – you have 3D – it's all 3D. So you have 3D glasses. By the way, best 3D I've ever seen.
Interesting.
Best 3D – it was so good that when I had the glasses on, because it was so bright and just looked like I was looking through a window, I took off – I'm like, are these even working? That's how good it was, because I wasn't sure. Like,
well, it's a benefit too of being like – because those – and the old ones, the cars used to be fairly, you know, short. You know what I mean? So like you don't have to throw far to go and get like a bright image. Close to,
yeah. So – I actually took them off because I'm like, are these things even working? I took them off and then it's completely doubled image. You couldn't see anything. It was very, very impressive. Cool. So all HD video, CG, you take off and you're like, you know, C-3PO takes you off and then there's this thing that comes on saying a rebel spy has been located on your speeder. And the scanner comes out into the audience, like in 3D. And grabs a picture of somebody in the car. Pretty neat. And then, you know, you're off and it's a lot smoother than the old Star Tours, which is nice. So, like, you know, you're speeding and you really feel like you're part of this thing. And I guess there's like 54, 53 different combinations you can get. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you don't really ever get the same storyline twice. So we ended up on the Wookiee planet. What's that planet?
I
can't remember.
Something YYKK.
Yeah. So we ended up on that planet. And we're going through and like Chewbacca comes – like jumps
Kashyyyk,
on.
Kashyyyk.
Chewbacca jumps on and he's hanging to the front of your speeder on the glass. And
wait,
like
what?
Yeah, like you're speeding through and you hit a Wookiee and he grabs on and then he gets pulled underneath. It's crazy. And then
it plays? Because that seems like
it totally plays.
A little
– Oh, no. It's not cartoony really. Obviously it's CG, but it totally plays. You're really into it. I mean it's
– Okay. Because you saw the tour, I'm like, that sounds a little bit like the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, like Tarzan sequence.
No, not at all. I mean, this is their world, and you're being chased, and like you kind of hit a thing, and it totally plays. And then after that, a hologram comes out of Yoda on the one I guess there's a Princess Leia one also, but the one we got was Yoda, and it comes out in 3D space, and it's Yoda telling you, you know, where you need to go to deliver the rebel. To be safe. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up, I guess you don't always end up in the same place, but I guess then we ended up on Coruscant, speeding through the city in 3D, and then, you know, then the whole thing ended. I guess some of them have Darth Vader in them. Some of them have an unfinished Death Star. Some of them have an underwater thing and Naboo thing. There's all these different combinations that you can get.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, like, every time you go on, it's pretty rare that you're going to get the same ride for a long time.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So that was my Star Tours experience. And to top it off, they gave us free passes to the park all day.
Cool. As now, what about thing. I keep hitting my mic, microphone. There was a
and there is no Jar Jar to be found, ladies and gentlemen. No Amazing Jar Jar.
What was the T-shirt? I saw you had a picture of a T-shirt on your Facebook page.
Oh, this they were selling this in the store after the ride. It was a stormtrooper eating a Mickey Mouse chocolate ice cream bar and having like chocolate all over him.
It said Taste the Dark Side or something?
Taste the Dark Side or something.
Yeah.
It was cheesy and funny. It was pretty funny. So that my review of the new Star Tours.
Thumbs up.
Total thumbs up.
Awesome.
Worth it. Well, if you go to Disneyland or Disney World, well worth it. They really updated it in an amazing way. You know, they didn't just slap it together.
Right.
I mean, they reshot this whole thing. The 3D is great. The motion control, I think, is that motion ride? Stuff sure. is awesome. I mean, you really need to be belted in too, because there's a point where you're like facing down and you're actually being held in by your seatbelt.
Interesting. I wonder what the actual angle you're really at, because all that stuff, you know, it gets accentuated. I think.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I felt the seatbelt like you have to be tilted at a point where you would fall out of your seat, because the seatbelt was holding me in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because the original Star Tours, I think it was only like 5 degrees in either direction. Yeah. It actually didn't tilt that much, you know.
But
it
felt 5 degrees though.
But it felt like you were because you know the visual.
Yeah. I think it may be a little more. But
yeah. So what is the when is it open for the public?
Well, in Disney World, it opened yesterday.
Okay.
And I guess Lucas and Bob Iger were down there at the opening of that, because originally it opened in Disney World, not Disneyland. Mm-hmm. The Disneyland one, they're doing soft opening stuff over the next couple of weeks, where they have it open for like an hour randomly in the park. And then it opens June 3rd.
Okay.
For everybody, like officially.
Cool.
So.
And lines, I'm sure, will be insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go first thing when you get into the park, because it's going to be the big thing right now.
You know what's going to be funny? If you went on that and you got the Naboo one, I would be so annoyed. You want to go back until you get like the original trilogy one. You know?
I thought it was really – I wanted to get the one where you go in the unfinished Death Star. I thought that would be neat.
Will they let you guys go again, or is it kind of like
– No, we only got to go once.
Gotcha. Otherwise, you'd be there all day going on that thing.
Oh, I would have gone on that thing a million times. And we got a special pin commemorating the day, and it has some weird language on it. I don't know what it says on the top of it. I have no idea.
Well, you have to figure that out.
I know. I got
to
figure it out.
Yeah.
If anybody knows who's listening, please let me know.
Did you go on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror when you were there?
No, we didn't go to California Adventure.
Oh, that's the best ride in the park. I mean, for me, I haven't seen the new Star Tours, but that's my favorite ride in all of Disneyland right now.
It's great. Well, our ticket was only for the Magic Kingdom, not the California Adventure.
Cool.
So,
but Tower of Terror is awesome.
Tower of Terror is awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cool.
Love it. So that was my Star Tours Disneyland day yesterday.
Very awesome.
Yes. So...
Food stuff this week?
Well, I'm going to lead into a food stuff thing, because at Disneyland,
interesting,
I ate like a pig. And yes, so, you know, I don't think anybody goes to Disneyland and doesn't, you know, and eats. Although you can eat healthy. They have fruit and stuff all over the park. Impressive, actually. And I was talking to my friend Mark about this. Everywhere you go in the park now is fresh fruit. And water and smart water and vitamin water everywhere. I mean, all over. You can't – it's rare that you would be in an area where you can't get that. I thought that was – I was impressed with Disney for that. I mean, they've always sold fruit, but it's really more prominent now.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. But I will take a second to talk about one of the best food items in Disneyland, period. Period. If you haven't had it, you must try it. So on Main Street – there is a little red cart, and this little red cart sells corn dogs. Freshly made, hand-dipped corn dogs. These things are special. I mean, these things are so good that they're like – they put up stanchions for a line to actually go to this cart and get the corn dogs.
Wow. Because
they're that good.
What is it about the corn dog that sets them apart from cut on a stick or whatever?
I mean, they're really big, which obviously adds to it. But I think that they're fresh. They're hand dipped, like right there. So like you order, they're constantly hand dipping these fresh corn dogs in the. I mean, it's awesome corn batter, and just, you know, the hot dogs are a hot dog, but but right. it's all about the batter.
Now they have corn dogs in California Adventure. Is it like the same one or
it's the same?
Okay,
it's the same ones. And oh man, they're amazing. They're amazing. I don't know how else to describe it except that they are like the perfect corn dog, especially because it's right out of the fryer, just enough sweet, just enough salty to make it like the best tasting corn dog you've ever had. These things are so popular that there's an app on the iPhone and Android and stuff called Mouse Waits, mm-hmm. which you can get, and it shows you the times of all the rides. Okay, on the Mouse Waits, there's the corn dog line.
Why don't they add a second cart?
There's no room for it over there. And it also makes it's kind of a special thing. And if you're in the know, to go try and get the. I mean, the longest I've been in that line is maybe 10 minutes. It's not, but there is a line that pops up.
Fair enough.
So corn dogs at Disneyland. I ate, churros and ice cream and whatever else you could possibly imagine one eating. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was pretty incredible.
Now, are you like a mustard or a ketchup guy when it comes to corn dogs?
On the corn dog, I'm a mustard guy.
I am as well.
Are you too?
I am indeed.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I like ketchup on hot dogs.
You know, like the cornmeal needs to be offset. Like there's the combination of that and the mustard.
Yeah, it's just
better.
It adds.
Because ketchup's kind of like too sweet and it you already have that with the cornmeal.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that.
And plus also having the bun, like that's so kind of bland relatively, you want to have that sweetness of the ketchup to,
right, right. On a regular hot dog. Yeah. Yeah, that totally makes sense. It's, you've had the ones at California Adventure then?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Which by the way is closed right now. The corn dog stand there.
Oh really?
In their remodel with all the stuff they're remodeling over there. They're doing like a $3 billion, remodel of the park.
Huh.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I still haven't been there since they did the new Ferris wheel with a mouse face on it and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or is it the sun now or is it a mouse? It used to be a sun, now it's the mouse face.
The mouse. Yeah. Yeah. Now they're building Cars Land and they have a new aerial ride that's about to open up.
Cars Land?
Mm-hmm. Perfect ride stuff.
Yeah.
Radiator Springs Drive races and all that stuff.
I don't know why I'm like, oh, that's sacrilegious. That's not pure like Disney is.
It's a new park. Because
all the other rides aren't based off animated properties.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on. that was my main food thing. I just want to take a second to mention a local food thing here that I ate. There is a restaurant, not a restaurant, a pizza place restaurant called Rocco's. Have you ever been?
I have not.
There's a couple of them. There's one on Wilshire, Mid-Wilshire. There's one in the valley. It's Rocco's Tavern. Good, great pizza place. I know the guys that own it. They're really good guys. They do good, good New York pizza here in LA, which is pretty rare. They recently started making cannolis.
I'm sorry. I'm pouring
Brian
coffee.
Is going to the bathroom while we are.
I didn't realize that would be that loud. I'm pouring coffee. I'm sorry. I have my little French press here.
He didn't want to get up, but I'm like, dude, what's going on?
I brought a bucket.
Come
what's
on.
What's the problem?
I mean, it gets really strange here. So, wow. I don't know how to segue into what I was going to talk about.
Yeah. Yep. Now you set yourself up to go from the restroom to really, cannoli. Nice work.
And there you just named our episode.
from restroom to cannoli.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wow.
So they're offering cannolis now. I don't even know what to do with myself right now.
I poured it behind the mic. I should have gone over here and poured it to the side.
I'm That's totally trying to promote these guys. Now it's turning into this weird thing. I'm going to compose myself for a second.
Now, the cannolis, I'm sure, are fantastic and have nothing to do with restrooms whatsoever.
No, but the nice thing about it is they make them when you order them. So they're really fresh, and the mascarpone cheese in there was one of the best cannolis I've ever had. And I've had cannolis in New York. I've had cannoli, I've had some good cannolis, but the key, I think, was that they actually put it together right when you order it. It's not just sitting out there. It doesn't get stale. It's not in a fridge, doing whatever. It was impressive, and I just had to give a shout out to it because it was a delicious cannoli and very fresh and perfect. Like the richness was the perfect level of richness. Well done.
I've never had cannoli.
No?
I only know it from The Lion and the Godfather. What is cannoli?
It's a pastry, like a tube pastry filled with like a mascarpone cheese filling, sometimes with chocolate, sometimes with other flavors. And, it's awesome.
That sounds good.
It's very good. It's very good. So.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're we're time to wrap it up for today.
I think so.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, everybody. We're having some issues, but hopefully you that were listening live, it was good, and it was a good time nevertheless. And we'll make it sound as nice as possible in post for those of you that are listening on your iPod or whatever.
Yes, when you download it and listen next week, there will be no.
I can't guarantee that.
Okay, never mind. I was about to make a. It will be clean and pristine and amazing.
Magical.
You will never know that we had weird audio sounding issues.
Or maybe you will.
Anyway, maybe we're going to make the whole thing sound like that.
Maybe we should. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Once again, if you like the show, please stop by iTunes and give us a rating or write a review. That's a really, really great way to get the show up in the rankings and everything.
And join us on Ustream if you feel like it. Saturdays at 11 a.m.
Definitely.
And Pacific time.
Yeah, and you can find the link either through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/techbacon.
Or on Twitter at techbacon.
Yeah. And I'm Brian.
I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening.